Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It is Monday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy this show. This story was first published on May 15th of 2016 under the headline, The Jackson County Rebellion, Llewellyn Banks Comes to Power. Here we go. The year of 1932 hit the Rogue River Valley as hard as it hit any place. That year was the psychological nadir of the Great Depression, a year of bank closures and suicides and hunger and civil unrest. Across most of the nation, as historian Jeff LaLand points out, the national mood was mostly one of bewilderment rather than anger. But most of the nation didn't have two local newspapers doing their level best to crystallize that bewilderment into bitter hatred against local political leaders. Jackson County did. And Jackson County entered 1932 on the brink of open hostilities. Some residents had even taken to carrying pistols on their hips, and armed guards and state police officers with submachine guns were not an uncommon sight on Medford streets. Moreover, the owners of the two newspapers that were doing all the rabble-rousing, Llewellyn Banks, owner of the Medford Daily News, and Earl Fail, owner of the weekly Pacific Record Herald, faced increasingly desperate financial straits themselves as the effects of the Depression worsened. Banks was in particularly rough shape. He was behind on payments to the former owners of his newspaper and faced foreclosure on his orchards. He was also being sued by half a dozen different parties at the same time, creditors, union representatives, and people he'd libeled in his newspaper's columns. The only hope for both of them seemed to be a total takeover of Jackson County's political and judicial machinery. That would enable them to stall their creditors and frustrate their litigants, while possibly also giving them suitably prestigious positions to transition into after the foreclosures and judgments finally did run their inevitable course. Fortunately, Banks and Fail had been gearing up for just such a takeover for years. They'd really focused their editorial and organizational fire on local politics after a moderately disastrous attempt by Banks to unseat U.S. Senator Charles McNary in 1930. The most memorable incident in that race had been when Banks tried to start a fist fight with a constituent who twitted him about the California license tags on his Cadillac. He'd lost in a landslide and decided that his time would be better spent trying to build a local power base rather than bothering with statewide office. So after that, his column in the Daily News talked much less of statewide issues and far more about the gang, the elected officials in charge of Jackson County. And Earl Fail, whose latest run for mayor had come tantalizingly close to succeeding, backed him up with gusto in the Record Herald. Now, after 2 years of steadily beating the drum for electoral war upon the gang, Banks and Fail were ready to make their play. It started with an attempt to recall a circuit court judge who was scheduled to preside over one of the lawsuits in which Banks was a defendant. Banks crystallized the recall movement into a political organization, dubbed it the Good Government Congress, and started charging its members monthly dues. In spite of this expense, or partly perhaps because of it, it grew into an ominously large force of often heavily armed Jackson County residents, mostly rural residents and working stiffs and the newly unemployed. Members would gather by the hundreds and occasionally thousands on the courthouse lawn to hear their leader speak, flanked by members of his own militia, the Green Springs Mountain Boys. I know that sounds like his own bluegrass act, but nope, it's a militia. Then came the election, and the Good Government Congress's candidates won some of the key positions in the county. In particular, Earl Fail himself was elected county judge, and Good Government Congress candidate Gordon Schermerhorn squeaked by on a razor-thin majority to become county sheriff. It would have been a complete takeover if it had not been for M.O. Wilkins' loss in the race for district attorney, and that loss hurt because the DA had a lot of influence over the issues that Banks and Fail cared most about, their legal troubles. Already, Fayol had lost his printing plant in a libel judgment, and Banks' creditors were trying to foreclose on his newspaper. Nevertheless, the two self-styled political bosses quickly set about consolidating their victory, whipping their good government Congress members into ever more dangerous frenzies with exhortations on the courthouse steps and in the pages of their newspapers. The rival daily newspaper, the Medford Mail Tribune, which was getting threatening letters every day, hired armed guards to protect itself from the angry crowds. Llewellyn Banks deployed paramilitary detachments of the Green Springs Mountain Boys to guard his own newspaper's office and printing plant, although it was not for protection against his political enemies so much as to prevent it from being seized by his creditors. Meanwhile, ex-Sheriff Jennings remained suspicious that the election that had kicked him out of office had been fraudulent. He'd lost by just over 100 votes, well within the range at which a recount is appropriate. But his efforts to arrange for one were being stymied by the new county judge, Earl Fayol. So he went over Fayol's head and appealed directly to the state of Oregon. The state ordered the recount done. This was a problem, because the election had been rigged, or at least an attempt had been made successfully to ensure a positive outcome by strategically rejecting on paper-thin pretext some ballots from the Eagle Point area. If those ballots were recounted, given how slim the margins had been, Sheriff Schermerhorn would almost certainly be declared the loser and the good government Congress would lose the power to deputize members of the Green Springs Mountain Boys to provide armed muscle. Something had to be done. And so, on February 20th, 1933, something was done. It was done under cover of a massive good government Congress rally. At least 1,000 people, probably more, assembled at the county courthouse for a particularly noisy demonstration. "Do we want a recount? No!" the multitude roared, and somewhere on a side street nearby, someone was revving a flathead Ford V8 engine to cover up the sound of breaking glass. The ensuing act of electoral fraud would be done so clumsily and ineptly that within a month, the good government Congress would be nothing but an awkward memory in Jackson County, its leaders behind bars and its office holders ousted. Unfortunately for all concerned, some of those office holders did not intend to go down without a fight. We'll talk about that fight in the final installment of this story next week. Key sources in this story have included works by Jeff LaLand, Mark Thorburn, and law.jrank.org. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include an active Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a ton of historic photos, and a bunch more stuff, including visuals for today's show and full citations to sources, all accessible via our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. It's called The Old Man's Waltz. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode, email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.